Welcome to the Balanced Perspective Podcast, where we're going to be challenging perspectives on what it actually takes to become successful in business and in life every single week. I'm Terri Ann Richards, your friendly neighborhood serial entrepreneur and your guide to growing an impact-driven business, fueling both your community and your life at home. Enjoy this episode. Hey, y'all, this is Terri Ann Richards, and you are listening to The Balanced Perspective. I'm here with my guest, Jen Patterson, who is a passionate money coach working with entrepreneurs and business owners on getting control over their money so that money no longer controls them. Hey, girl.
Hey.
How are you today?
You know what? I'm not going to lie. It's been a little bit of a chaotic morning, but I'm here, and that's all that matters.
As I'm sitting here watching her on this Zoom call, I know that she has a three-year-old somewhere is off to the right of her, but her dog keeps trying to come in on the Zoom call as well. So there's a little bit of chaos happening around you.
It's constant chaos. And my 10-month-old is napping in the other room. And so we're having our fingers crossed that he stays napping the whole time.
Oh, you are a brave woman, brave woman. Well, I am appreciative that you have decided to choose today to be here with me and to share your wisdom with our audience. So money, such a diverse topic, but it's ridiculously important, but so taboo. You know, I think of myself earlier in years in business, not wanting to really talk about money. But before I even go down that rabbit hole, because I was about to bring us there, I really want to get an idea of who you were and what you were doing prior to deciding to be a money coach, deciding to be an entrepreneur. What really brought you to this path?
You know what? It was kind of an accidental road that I walked down. And I think that a lot of entrepreneurs have a very similar kind of story that they accidentally ended up where they are. It was very unintentional. So I have always worked in finance in some way, shape, or form. So I started my career in the credit counseling world. And there I was, I was 18 years old. I was a file monkey. I mean, literally, I spent 8 hours a day in a scary little windowless room filing paper. It was the worst job in the world. But it did teach me a lot about what not to do with money. Because you'd be looking through these files and you'd see somebody who was not that much older than you that had somehow mounted like six figures in commercial debt. And you're thinking, what exactly did you buy? And so, you know, I saw these file after file of people in these really awful situations. And so that was sort of the spark, you know, in me just to learn more about finances and to really get a handle on my own so that I didn't end up in that world. I did not want to go down that road. And then after university, I went to university and did a degree in economics, loved doing that. To me, economics was the most fun because all I had to do was draw little pictures of graphs. I didn't have to write a single paper. So that made me really happy.
I love that you're saying that you loved economics. And I can think back to my small stint in university, and choosing like the classes like psychology and sociology and then economics. And I remember going in the economics class and I was like, oh my God, where's the door? Like, I need to get out of here fast because money and numbers, I mean, yeah, I pay attention to them now, but back in my early 20s, that was not a topic I thought was cool. So I love that you just said like that, that you really enjoyed it.
That was literally the only topic I could find where there were no papers required. And I was like, I can do tests until the day is done. I love being tested, but do not get me to write a paper because I will stare at a blank screen for hours. So that was kind of where I started. And then after that, I didn't know what I wanted to do as a career. And I fell into financial planning just, again, kind of by accident, just, you know, talking to people. And I started that career, which is a very entrepreneurial lifestyle. I mean, you have to go out, you have to build your book of business. And I did that for about 5 years. And then it came time for my husband and I, we wanted to start a family. And I realized that the lifestyle of a financial planner did not align with motherhood in any way, shape, or form. You know, you have to be at your client's beck and call, your evenings, your weekends. They're not your own. And so I wanted to be the kind of parent that was around a lot. I wanted my own mom was very present in my childhood. She was the brownie leader. She was the, you know, class mom at every field trip. And that was the kind of mom I wanted to be. And I realized that I couldn't do that if I was chained to my desk. And So I left that world, but I still wanted to work. I love working. I love having a part of myself that is not just mom. And, you know, being in the online world and coaching seemed to kind of marry the two in a really nice way. So that was how I ended up where I am.
Wow. That's a very cool journey. And I love how you sort of framed it at the beginning. Like, that's kind of how most entrepreneurs, most businesses kind of are created, right? I'd like to say that everything I've done in life is like on purpose, but the reality is some of it just kind of happens by just by force of action or by, you know, just by taking those next steps forward. So, okay. So a couple of years ago, you decide to create this organization called Dollar Divas, correct? And you've decided that your topic is going to be on finances and money, and your avatar, the person that you're actually speaking to, are other entrepreneurs. So share a little bit with me, like, what is that? What is it that you do that helps all of us lovely entrepreneurs get okay with our money?
Well, Dollar Divas started way back when my financial planning days, when I was desperate to build a book of business and had no idea how to go about it. And so I started Dollar Divas as a way to connect with other people out in the world and open the conversation about money in a really easy and comfortable way. So people could come to me and we would talk about money. So we did educational events locally here. We did group discussions and coffee chats and all of that great stuff. And basically said, hey, we're going to talk about money. Come and chat with us. And it was a very comfortable environment. We worked really hard to help people open up about money in a way that no one was judged, no question was too simple. And so that was sort of where Dollar Divas started. And when I left the financial planning world, I had this wonderful brand that had a great reputation, and I thought, why not just create the business from that? And that was kind of where Dollar Divas started. And then when I was trying to figure out who I wanted to coach, I kept coming across this same story over and over and over again. Entrepreneur, amazing at their trade, a hot mess with their finances, like just disastrous. And I'm thinking to myself, why is this? This person is way too good at what they're doing to be this broke. And it occurred to me that the problem wasn't with what they did in business. The problem was with how they managed their business. And so I created a program that taught those business owners that fundamental skills, those foundational business building skills that nobody talks about. You know, you go to school, I don't care what you go to school for, they're not going to teach you how to run a business. They're going to teach you your trade, and they're going to send you out in the world and be like, okay, go be successful. See you later. You know, you end up with these business owners who are just working paycheck to paycheck or 80 hour weeks or, you know, all of the above, and can't figure out why they're not growing and succeeding. And usually it comes down to the money.
So what are the common themes? Like, why do so many entrepreneurs struggle with that side of business? Like, is there some common themes that seem to come up?
Oh, totally. The first one is that they just don't want to. A lot of times, especially I find, this is a massive generalization, and for anyone out there who does not fall into this category, I apologize profusely. But the more creative entrepreneurs tend to be less inclined towards these things. They don't want to look at spreadsheets all day long. Cash flow statements, you know, make their eyes glaze over, or they're just really confused by it. The other side of the thing is they're just overwhelmed. They have no idea where to start, and so they just don't. And they just bury their head in the sand and pretend they're a little ostrich and just carry merrily along with the things that they're good at, which is great. I mean, usually those things they're good at are the things that are bringing in their business, but they don't take the time to learn the skills because they just don't know where to start. They're just completely overwhelmed by it.
Okay. And so from what you're doing, do you have like an online course or a workshop or something that you take them through and help them take their head from in the sand, you know,
out into the world.
Yeah, out into the world. Yes. And you teach them the basics.
Yeah. So actually, it's a brand new program I'm just developing. I was working one-on-one and I missed the group atmosphere. So I've just started developing this group program that will take people like literally by the hand and say, okay, step number one is to just open a bank account that is separate for your business. And you'd be surprised how many established business owners don't have that. Like they just, everything is mixing with their personal and it's all one big scary schmoz. And, you know, they really need somebody to say to them, here is what you need to do. Go to a bank, open this type of account. And so they, you know, have that handholding experience where they can set these things up. And it's about a 6-month program. We go through all of that, you know, early setup stuff. Even if you're totally established and have been in business for 3 years, you can still take a lot of these steps and it will, you know, set you up for success and be able to grow as opposed to just staying where you are. So that's what I'm working on right now, which is this brand new program, which I'm really jazzed about.
That's awesome. And it's interesting because that you made the comment that so many entrepreneurs like are still, you know, waving or intermingling, sorry, the personal and the business side. And you're right. Like I remember when I was first in business, that's what I did until somebody, you know, like yourself came into my room and was like, why are you doing that? Like, that's a business. This is you. Those are two separate things. You need to be able to track stuff so that you can expense things and all of this. But, you know, until you are told and sort of handheld, you just don't know what you don't know. And some of us, when we get to a certain point in business, we forget that there was a point where we didn't know, right? Yeah. So I think it's going to be a very good program to put people through. So the question I have for you is, you know, why do so many people, you know, whether it's entrepreneurs or just people in general, why do you think so many people have like a negative or an unhealthy relationship with money?
You know, I think there's so many factors that go into that. Like when you talk about financial baggage, it's very well established, well-structured baggage because it comes from so many different sides of our lives. Either, you know, we have money stories from our childhood, or we have societal pressures that, you know, make you think that, oh, being wealthy is bad. Because even looking at all of these things in the media, like the, you know, the Real Housewives and junk like that, where people with money are just behaving badly. And that's what gets shown. You don't generally see people using money well, because it's not fun and exciting or sexy. It's boring. And so, you know, there's all of these different factors that come into play. And it is technically taboo in our society to talk about money. You know, even when people talk about money, they talk about it in very vague references, you know, oh, she has a lot of money. Oh, they're, you know, doing really well. Oh, they're broke. Like there's no actual concrete dollar amounts that ever get tossed around. It's always these vague sort of la 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 things. And so we all have these kind of stories that come out, and we don't want to talk about it because it's, you know, traumatizing in some way, whether we know it or not. You know, some people may have some weird childhood money story that's sabotaging them and they may not even know it.
Interesting. And so, you know, what advice do you give to individuals who are out there and, you know, they're in business, maybe they've been in business, say like 1 to 3 years, they're starting to notice that they have quite an amount of debt, you know, and they're struggling. They're struggling financially just to make the right decision, the right next move. Like, what would be one piece of advice that you would give them? I mean, beyond, yes, come and get your course once it launches. I mean, I think that makes perfect sense. And we'll make sure that we drop the link for that once that goes live. But just, you know, regular people that are out there right now listening to this, and they're going like, that sounds like me. Like, what would be the one piece of advice that you would give them?
The best advice I ever got is pay attention. Just pay attention. What you pay attention to grows. So if you start paying attention to your money, then it will start to grow. So pay attention to your money. A lot of people, you know, they'll think they're paying attention because they're worrying at night. They're spending nights thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to pay my debt? How am I going to deal with this? You know, the collection agencies are calling. That's not paying attention. Paying attention is being really mindful about what's going in and what's going out every single day. If you are at a point where you are struggling massively, then it's time to back up the horse and literally track every penny and say, you know, what's going out? What's coming in? where are the holes? Because I can guarantee you there are holes that you can easily fill without a whole lot of change in your lifestyle. That's all it really takes is just paying attention. And there's a whole bunch of other things you can do in terms of like structuring your bank accounts. And I guess I do mean bank accounts, multiple, not just one. There's lots of things like that you can do. But the very first thing you need to do before you take any action is just pay attention.
Interesting. Do you have somebody that you follow that you are inspired by? Like, I know I've watched a lot of Dave Ramsey's stuff, and I love him. I love his bluntness, I think, is what I love the most about him. You know, people are like, should I buy the house? Or, you know, what do you think about this debt? Do you have anybody out there that you pull inspiration from, or do you pull a lot of it from your past experiences in financial planning and working with those clients that had those mountains of debt?
You know, I mean, I'm familiar with people like Dave Ramsey and things like that. And I don't follow him closely. I've read some of his books and I think that they're great. And you're right. I love his bluntness. I think that we need a lot more bluntness in the world. The vagueness drives me bananas. But my sort of go-to is usually experience more than following somebody else. But I will say there is a guy, I'm trying to remember his name. He wrote a book called Profit First. And it's a fantastic book, but I will say this, the man mansplains like no one's business.
Is that like Marcus Lemonis? Is that him?
I don't think so. And it's Mike something, but his last name is very long and I can't pronounce it.
We will figure that out.
Yeah. Anyway, so he has fantastic things to say. And I really like his methodology in terms of managing money. And for anyone who's not an entrepreneur, it is a book based on how to manage your money as an entrepreneur, but so many of the concepts are totally universal and could easily be applied to like a personal finance situation as well.
Awesome. So are you saying that you're supposed to be looking at your bank account and your finances on a daily basis? Like, did I hear that correctly?
Absolutely. Especially, I mean, if you're in a situation where things are going great, then you can dial it back a little bit. But if you're just starting that kind of like financial turnaround, you got to be dialed in. And that means looking at it every single day. It's a wow. Habit. It's a lifestyle change, because you think about anything else that you want to make big changes to, your diet, the way you clean your house. It's all the same thing. You have to pay attention every single day, especially in those first big change couple of months when you're trying to make, you know, huge lifestyle shifts. You got to pay attention.
Oh, I can just feel the people who are listening right now. Like, there's the ick. And I mean, I've been there before. It's where ick. Like my debt was big, and you know, and the dollars that were coming in were not matching the debt. And I remember the feeling of just ick. And it's like, if the phone rang, like even to this date, when my phone rings every once in a while, I kind of get that ick. But it's all done. Like I'm over it now. But it's like I've trained myself to be afraid of the phone calls that used to come in my, you know, in my mid-20s when I had a very, very large company that I took on a lot more debt than necessary. But I can imagine people right now just listening to this going, you're telling me I have to pay attention to it. Like, look at the thing that I really would just rather put my head in the sand for.
Yeah. And you know what? If it's really that terrifying, like it for a lot of people it is, and that's totally okay. Start by simply just opening up your online banking every day. It's just a simple step. It takes 2 minutes. Open it up and just look at it. That's all you really need to do to kind of get started and try and get over that ick and really retrain your brain and your body to react differently. You know, open it up, look at it, and give yourself a little pat on the back. Give yourself a little celebration to, you know, the fact that you ate the toad that day. You looked at the scary thing and you faced it. And, you know, that's step one, is just being able to open it up and look at it. Because that is the worst thing that you can do, is ignore everything. Because if you ignore it all, it's just going to get worse.
Absolutely. And I can certainly speak from experience, you know, when I think back to, you know, those days when I had the big mountain of debt and I avoided it, you know, it was still there, guys.
It's not going away.
It doesn't actually go away. But the moment that you, you know, and I had worked with someone back then where I, you know, focused in on it and I made a conscious effort to, you know, get over the ick and put a plan together, it was actually really cool to see how effective and how quickly I could move through the debt and kind of get more control over my finances just by paying attention to it. So yeah, I'm 100% on board with what you're saying. You need to get over the ick. Look at it.
Gotta get over the ick.
Yeah. Open up the bank account, folks. Take a look at it on a daily basis. I like that advice. So, okay. So, I mean, obviously everything in your life sort of has pointed you towards money and, you know, talking to people about money and getting people to, you know, move through their icks, if you will. Do you feel like that's the big why for you? Like, is there something else that's coming around the corner that you're really excited about in terms of your why and the impact that you're trying to make?
I think that honestly, I see how valuable, I mean, we all have to deal with money. Like, it's not, unless you're living in a shack in the middle of a, you know, woods and you're growing your own food, you have to in some way, shape or form deal with money. And so I saw so many women, especially when I started out in financial planning practice, I kept seeing this over and over again, women who were either widowed or divorced, and they were presented with a situation where they had no clue what was happening with their finances because their husband had always dealt with it. And I just thought, this is so wrong. This is so wrong. There is no reason why these people shouldn't have control of their money. There's no reason why they shouldn't have this knowledge. It's not like they're dumb. They're not incapable. It's just nobody's ever taught them. And that has driven me to, you know, talk about money and whatever I read, anytime anyone lets me talk about money, I will be, you know, on my soapbox ranting and raving about, you know, the different things that you can do to learn different resources, because I can't stand the idea that somebody is in a tough situation just because they don't have the knowledge. And that's really what drives me and what gets me out of bed in the morning.
So you just sort of made a comment about, you know, one partner making all the financial decisions. Are you would you be somebody who's more pro couples having a joint conversation about Yes. their finances? What does that look like for you? Because I've heard people talk about it, but nobody really lays it out of like, this is what it actually means.
You know what? I'm a big believer. So I've been with my husband for almost 20 years now. Like, we've been together for a ridiculous number of years considering our ages. And our big thing is communicate about everything. Just communicate. You know, we definitely have our zones of genius, and we definitely have things that, you know, I take care of more so, and then there's lots of stuff that he takes care of more so. But we talk about everything. So I know exactly what's happening with our money. He knows exactly what's happening with our money. There's no question marks. There's no secrets. It's just, this is what's happening. And I think the best thing that you can do in terms of like a relationship and handling the finances, it doesn't matter how you structure it. You know, you can do the yours, mine, and ours. You can do the completely separate. You can do the completely combined. That part doesn't matter. The part that's critical is the communication and both parties being on board with whatever the plan is. And if the plan's not working, try something else. You know, you've got to always communicate about it. And where things break down is generally because one party has some assumption that the other party is not aware of. And then anger and resentment starts to come into play and secrets start happening. And, you know, that's what breaks things down. If it's all out in the open, then it really doesn't matter how it's structured because everybody's on board. And that's the important thing.
Absolutely. And I mean, I can see how that, you know, communication is important in all aspects, you know, whether it's through, you know, your intimate partner, so your spouse, whether it's a business partner. I think it's, you know, incredibly important to have that communication, and to your point, sort of set up the structure of the boundaries of what it looks like as a joint force. You know, how often would you suggest somebody have those conversations?
I mean, it depends on kind of where you're at in sort of your, I hate this word because it's so overused, but journey, like, you know, where are you at? Are you a brand new couple just trying to feel it out? Then have a conversation, you know, go on a weekly coffee date and just talk about the finances. That's what my husband and I did for a long time. You know, obviously right now coffee dates may not be an option, but just sit down once a week, you know, and have it be a very casual thing. Sit side by side. That's a critical part. If you're talking about money with your partner, don't sit across the table from one another, staring each other in the eye. Sit shoulder to shoulder. there's a subtle psychology that comes into the play there, because when you're sitting shoulder to shoulder, you feel like you're a teammate. If you're facing one another, it's much more combative. It's a lot, there's a lot more kind of body language that plays into it, and you're a lot more likely to have a fight. Whereas if you're sitting shoulder to shoulder, you know, a car ride is a great way to do this. You know, especially if you've got kids and you're like, oh my God, I need to get out of the house. Strap the kids into the back, go for a drive, have the conversation, and it's going to go better if you're sitting shoulder to shoulder.
Wow, I have never heard that before, but I can totally see how that would be, like, that would definitely improve a conversation that's so, you know, to most, a very uncomfortable conversation until it kind of becomes like a muscle and it's, you know, it's worked.
Yeah, but you gotta work it.
Very cool. Okay. So sit side by side. I like this. So are there any tools, you know, I've seen lots of softwares out there that people use to help like track their finances and, you know, see where they're spending. You know, what do you suggest? You know, is it a piece of paper? Is it Excel? Is there a software?
Whatever works.
Gotcha.
Whatever works for you. So, you know, I've seen lots of people use Excel brilliantly, whereas other people, like, a spreadsheet just makes their skin crawl. Some people, a good old fashioned notebook and piece of paper, you know, pen, that works great if that's, you know, what's going to work for you. My personal favorite in terms of like the online trackers, because there's a bajillion of them. I'm not a personal fan of mint.com. I don't find it intuitive. I find that it's got some flaws in it that don't really work, especially if you are trying to pay down debt. My personal favorite is a program called Envelopes. So it's M, the letter M, Envelopes. And it essentially is a online version of the cash envelope system, but it's just digital because that's the way we live right now. And it's a great tool. It syncs to all your credit cards and all of your bank accounts. I've been using it, I'm not even joking, since I was 18 years old, and it is a fantastic program.
What? So yeah. I've never heard of it before. So it's called Envelopes.
Yes. And I will send you the link so that you can link it up in the show notes for anyone who wants to.
Oh, that's awesome. And so basically, like, you know, like, I think her name was Gail. Debt Do Us Part, is that like,
oh, Gail Foss Oxlade.
Yeah, like she had, like, I don't know if she had envelopes or jars or something.
She was a kind jar of lady.
Okay.
She was a jar lady. So it's a similar system. You know, I find with some of those, they tend to be a little bit too simple for some people. So for some people, they need it basic, you know, broken down that simple. But for others, when there's some slightly more complicated things going on, it's not robust enough.
Gotcha.
But it's the same concept of, you know, you got to have the money in to put the money out. And if it's not in the envelope, then you're not spending it. Too bad.
So knowing what you know now in, you know, both business and life and the way in which we seem to, how would I put that? Partake in a relationship with money. Is there any advice that you would give someone who's maybe just starting out in business?
Just starting out in business, I think the first thing that you've got to do is draw a line in the sand. Draw a line in the sand between your business and your personal. Have a dedicated credit card, because, you know, there's always going to be things that you need to charge a credit card for, whether it's a subscription or whatever. So have one that's just dedicated to your business, have a bank account that's dedicated just to your business. And a lot of people make the mistake of running out and getting like business accounts that are very expensive. And you don't have to do that, especially if you're a solopreneur, brand new in business. Personal accounts work brilliantly. You know, they're cheap, they're easy. You can set them up with like a few clicks of a mouse in an afternoon. Just do that to start off with. And as you grow, you can change these things. Nothing is set in stone. Just make sure you draw a line in the sand, and that is going to set you up for success in the long run. Cleaning up a mess after the fact, oh boy, we all know that that's much more difficult than starting off on the right foot.
Absolutely. So draw a line in the sand, separate your business and your personal. If you're in trouble right now in terms of your debt load or just the way in which you're having a relationship with money, spend more time paying attention to it. Get your head out of the sand. Look at your bank account on a daily basis. If you have a business partner or a spouse, have a conversation on a regular basis about money. Have a coffee date. And in terms of like current settings, COVID, I would say have a virtual coffee. No, you don't even have to if you live with them.
Be virtual. If they're your partner, if they're in the house, sit down on the couch.
Yes.
Have a nice cup of coffee partner. Or maybe, you know, one glass of wine. I don't recommend having, you know, multiple because then things derail. But, you know, make it pleasant.
Now, in terms of how people can work with you, now I know that you said, now are you still doing one-on-one coaching?
I am doing one-on-one coaching, but I am starting to kind of dial that back. But if there is anyone who really is like desperate, I want, you know, one-on-one handholding, absolutely get in touch with me.
Perfect.
Happy to schedule something. But the new group program is going to be probably launching in August. So currently it is June, so I'm not sure how long lead time you give, but it is June and we are launching probably in August. I don't have a ton of sort of promotional material ready because it is such a brand new thing that I've literally decided to do like 3 weeks ago. But that being said, we are accepting registrations and things like that. So anybody who is just like, oh my gosh, I need this in my life, just pop me an email, find me on Facebook, find me on Instagram. All of those links, I'll make sure to get to Terri Ann. And you can just get in touch and we will set you up and get you on the right foot.
Get you on the list so that you're in the know once this puppy launches. I think, you know, again, knowing that this is a topic that I certainly hear people bring up a lot. It certainly has affected me in my younger years. And, you know, the topic of money is uncomfortable for most. And so if you can get to a place, you know, through Jen's program of actually leveling up your connection with money and your knowing about money so that you can have the success you want and you can play in your genius zone, but you can have the structure in place to see what's going on in your world. I think it's going to make a lot of people less stressful.
I hope so. That's the goal.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your journey and as well sharing your passion about money and entrepreneurship. I certainly know a lot of lives are going to be changed and I wish you the best of success.
Thank you so much. I had a great time chatting with you and I appreciate your patience with my chaos.
Chaos is the norm when you're a mom and an entrepreneur.
Yep.
Awesome. Thanks, Jen.
All right. Bye.